Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my Magic Wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking your calls, answering your emails, and covering a lot of topics, including why we need to stop gossiping about our partner's sexual exploits, because hey, it's their business. Whatever the sex act may be, if you had a bad experience once, don't let it scar you forever. Threesome etiquette. How do you stay safe with all those holes? What do you do with them? And what to do when your partner loves their vibrator, but you both want to have an orgasm without it? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You can easily comment and subscribe on iTunes. We love when you do that. You can find the podcast wherever you're listening to podcasts. And also, you can join me on SiriusXM Radio Stars, Channel 109. I am there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific. And it's been amazing. I love reaching all of you and helping you guys with your sex and relationship challenges. If you want a free 30-day trial, not a problem. sexwithemily.com/SXM. And as always, follow us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. Enjoy the show. So, hello, everybody. We have some sex in the news we want to talk about today. It was just brimming with good news today. Well, fun news. We want to get into it, right, Jamie?
Mm-hmm. There was definitely some interesting things. So, this article came out on People about some people from the show Vanderpump Rules, which is on Bravo. Saying that one of the women, her name's Ariana, is very mad at her boyfriend, this guy named Tom Sandoval, because he outed her to her friends for having sex with another character on the show, Lala.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And basically, this guy, Tom, he's out with his friends for his birthday, and they're talking about, it says in here, when boys traded ribs about their significant other's dips in the lady pond. So he reveals, like, yeah, like, I don't know if I ever told you this, but Ariana and Lala, they, like, went out drinking and they were, like, wasting. They were in my car. And she started, you know, the girl Lala started going down on his girlfriend. So he's just, first of all, this is, like, on national
television. He's telling this really intimate story about his girlfriend.
Yeah, about his own girlfriend.
Yeah, I see. Okay, and I read this. I'm like, people still do this. Like, don't we all know once we get out of high school, by the way, not even cool in high school, that you just don't talk about people you're sleeping with. Like, don't kiss and tell. Don't have your girlfriend kiss someone else and tell about it, or have a her bi experience and the whatever happened, bisexual experience. I just think it's disrespectful. If you are dating someone, you're committed, you love them, for sure you shouldn't be revealing that. And then not on national television. Now, here's the thing. If it wasn't being filmed, I get guys sitting around with your best buddies, bachelor party or birthday party. You might tell it, right? You might tell. But hopefully, they wouldn't, you know, if they're best buddies and you trust them, guys are going to do that. You know, and I know I've sat around with my girlfriends and said things But it's the ones that I know that would never, that have known me for forever, and I know they would never, ever reveal anything. So I was just disappointed that this is still going on today, all the time. I think this is a great reminder. Like, I get it makes great TV. I was on a Bravo show. I know what it's like. 6 years ago, I was on a show called Misadvised, and the producers were like pushing me to like have sex and say things that were outrageous. Like, do you want to be the boringest person on the show? I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
It was pressure. They were like, you want to be the least interesting sex expert on the planet? You're not going to have sex with this guy? I'm like, nope, I'm not. So I get that. I am going to give him that. You're on Bravo. But still, it's just not cool. How do you get over that?
Well, yeah, because it's not one. It's not, you just know that you're not just telling your friends at the bar that you have mics on. So that you're telling the whole world, you know what I mean? And then it's like about your own girlfriend who's supposed to trust you, and the other girl probably doesn't want them knowing her business, and it's their business, and now every time those guys see them, that's all they're going to think about.
Right, exactly. And you never get away from that. Now no one else gets away from it who's watched the show, because it's a really popular show. So I just think it's a little reminder, we don't need to gossip about who you slept with. Don't kiss and tell. Don't fucking tell. Why? Yeah. Like, what's the purpose? I mean, bragging rights.
So it's interesting, because I mean, I don't know, when I have sex with people, I talk to my friends about it. It's never like in poor taste. It's just about our sexual experience together, just because.
Yeah.
But I'm usually like, yeah, this was good. This was like, you know, whatever. Like, I'm never bashing them when I'm talking about it or anything like that, unless they were like super selfish. But that usually, right. I've usually been pretty.
It's just the gossipy nature of it.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem cool. But I feel like, just a reminder, it's not cool. And things always get back to you. Always will get back to your friends. So yeah, of course. But I feel like the way women talk about sex is more like, when I do talk to my girlfriends, they don't even care who it is necessarily. It's more like, this happened and that happened, and then I learned when I got on top, I can have an orgasm this way, or he went down. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, and again, friends I've known forever, I'm not just screaming about it at a bar. So,
that is true. Not out at a bar.
With a mic on.
With a mic on. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting, the differences of how men and women, I think, talk about it with their friends.
I always feel like guys are like, either like, I banged her, I didn't bang her. This happened, didn't happen. I think she's hot, I wanted to. And then women, when we're talking to women friends, hopefully if you're that person, I think that we learn a lot by talking to our female friends about like details, in the sense of not salacious details.
Yeah.
But more like, here's what happens to me during sex. What happens to you? Like, I've learned so much. And that's why I always encourage women and men, but in a much healthier way than this, to actually engage in healthy sex conversations with your friends. And actually, studies have come out that have said that women who have healthy relationships with their girlfriends and talk about sex in a healthy way actually have better relationships and experience report having better sex. More orgasms and more pleasure. Because I think a lot of reasons why we don't have great sex, or think we don't, is because we keep a lot of it inside. We have shame. And then that's when we start making assumptions that everyone else is having better sex than we are. So I think it's okay to talk about your sex life in a constructive way, but not just for entertainment value. So I wasn't cool with that.
Yeah, like, and how do you trust your boyfriend after that?
No, you don't, really.
I'd be like, what else?
But everyone on that show sleeps with everybody, so it's part of it. But right.
I've honestly never seen it.
Right. But we've had them on. Sheena's on. Sheena Shea.
And then, yeah, she was really cool.
She was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We like them all. Yeah. All right.
And there was this other article that came out that was kind of like an advice thing, but it was just very, I thought it was going to be very interesting. And Emily has a great take on this, I think. So the title of the article is, I hate, hate, hate anal sex, but my husband says it's unfair not to do it. So basically she's asking for advice because her husband wanted to try it. She didn't want to do it, but she tried it. She hated it. They tried it again. She still hated it. They tried with toys, slowly increasing sizes. She still hated that. They've tried a bunch of different lubes, towels to protect the bed, all these things. Basically, they've done all the stuff. And
all
she's
the
still,
stuff that I would say to do.
And she still doesn't like it, but he's still saying that, like, he thinks that she should. Even though, like, during too, she's saying that she, like, it makes her skin crawl. She cries during and after. And her husband says that they can stop at any time, but she just goes through with it. And she just hates it. And he says that he doesn't want it to hurt her, but thinks that it's fair for him to keep wanting it and keep asking for it without this outsized emotional response. So, I mean, that's just...
Right. No, okay. So here's the thing about this. So when I first read this, I'm like, well, what's going on here? Because my take on anal is this, is that what I've seen is that a lot of women have had anal experiences that were not pleasurable. And I've heard this variations of this story many, many times. Having sex with someone, they were drunk, wasted, either at A, went in the wrong hall, oops, that's painful, or B, they just weren't doing it correctly. And so here's the thing about anal, there are some steps, not to, you know, they're not that difficult if you listen to me, but there's some steps. You want to, you know, you want to make sure that you're relaxed. You want to make sure you, for women, you already have a clitoral orgasm first is really helpful, that you're super relaxed, use lots and lots of lube and then more lube, and you go slow. So for some women who had that bad first time experience because someone just put it in, I always say to them, well, I understand that maybe you could, you know, be with a partner you trust, follow these steps, maybe use a definitely start with a finger. Mm-hmm. Start with like analingus, little anal rimming, right? See if you actually like being touched in that way, because there's so many nerve endings even on the outside that it can feel good on the outside of the anus. But then when I read this, so that's what I think. So I understand women not liking it, but I always say, well, maybe if your partner's into it, you try it again. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of women, they're like, thank you so much. You're right. I'm actually into it now. We went slow. But when I read this and this woman says, she did everything. It's almost like she listened to the show. She's mm-hmm. like, we tried different lubes. We tried a butt plug. We tried it several times. We went slow and I still don't like it. And then the fact that he keeps pushing her and pushing her because mm-hmm. he can't get over the fact that she won't do anal and they're married just made me angry. And so, and he's telling her, I just need some variety, which I understand. In a lot of relationships, essentially what we crave in relationships after the honeymoon phase wears off, we want variety and we want novelty. We mm-hmm. want something new, exciting, surprising, and we want variety. So what I would say is, like, you know, I think it is really unfair that he's pushing her. Like, it's emotionally becoming painful. Like, if you read this, we could put a link to it in our show notes, mm-hmm. which we always do during the show on our website. So I just feel like he's invalidating her. She's having this really strong emotional, physical response, and he's just not respecting her. And the rectums, you guys, are delicate. So here's the thing. If you shove it in without lube, if anyone's eating dinner now, sorry, shove it in the rectum. it's really delicate. It really is. That's why warming it up, using lube and all that. So here's what I'm thinking with this couple. What I would say to them is that they probably, you know, they need to be really, she needs to be really direct about it, that it's not okay. And then I think this, they're such great candidates for a sex therapist who could sit with them and help them talk this through. Because what I see is a guy who's like, I'm married to my partner, I gotta have anal, I'm with this, I don't wanna be with anyone else, because she says here, an open arrangement, not interested. What am I going to do without anal? And what it reminded me of is that a lot of people get caught up on anal because it's like the taboo thing. It's the other hole. It's like the thing that we haven't done in all these years. They don't realize that there's other things on the table. There's like a menu of sexual pleasure that people can have, but they don't even know it exists, because basically we know about vaginal penetration. We know anal. We know a few positions. But if you went to like a therapist, you could like look at a yes, no, maybe list, which lists like hundreds of things you could try. Are you into bondage? Are you into dirty talk? Are you into spanking? Are you into, you know, maybe he want, actually, she said that she gave him some, she penetrated him anally. You know, so just like, I feel like if you get to a point in your relationship where sex has sort of become this, you know, bargaining tool, or that's used as a weapon or a threat, it's just, this is not a good, it's going to be hard for them to get out of this loop. And so I just think, and then it was funny because I was listening to Howard Stern last week, and someone called into his show about a similar thing, but he was more like, I wanted to be like, let me call in, because the guy said, I've been with my wife for 5 years, and when we got together, he's like, you know, I just wanted her to like, you know, like me. I was like, oh, babe, no, that's okay. We never have to do anal. But now they're engaged 5 years later, and he's like, Howard, what do I do? Because I might want anal now. And then, so I thought that was interesting. And Howard's like, well, if she doesn't want to, she doesn't want to, but you should, you know, talk to her again. I think that's the thing, is that that's a very different scenario. I would say maybe she's changed in 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he was so worried that she's going to be like, how dare you bring it up when you told me 5 years ago you were a no-go anal guy? And we all change over time. So that would be a revisiting the conversation with your wife and talking about different options and seeing if she might be into it now. I mean, I think that just because our partner says something once, we don't have to assume that it's still the case forever.
Well, yeah, because a lot of times we say no to stuff, and then later on, we're like, we might not even remember saying no.
We might not. Well, that's the other thing. We might not even remember saying no. And believe me, most people do not have sex conversations in their relationship. So if you only had one at one point, you're going to remember it. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the last conversation they had. So that's why we got to keep having these talks, you guys, so we can keep updating it, updating how we feel now.
I'm also very curious as to like what the benefit is for him, like why he needs like anal specifically so badly, because it's like maybe there's a way that like, as if maybe if it's like the tightness, then she can put her legs closer together, right, or something. Or like if it's the taboo, then like you said before, like talking with a sex therapist to find other avenues,
or like go to our website and look at the yes no maybe list. It has all these sexual acts that are like yes, no, maybe. I think every couple, we're going to be creating one, we promise, for everybody. That's going to be like your sexual plan for the year, so you can figure it out with your partner. But yeah, I think it's because it's just taboo. And I think that's a lot of people, because it's tighter perhaps, and taboo. But there's other ways, exactly. You can modify doggy style, put your legs closer together. That could be tighter. You could use pillows to kind of lift you up. So you can, there's ways to create a tightness. There's ways to create, to have taboo sex, air quotes, that might please him as well. But I think, and also maybe he's one of these guys who like got to get his way, and when he doesn't, like can't let it go. Like dog with a bone, maybe. Dog with a butt plug.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too. And I just, it's so funny because I've always said that if a guy, because I'm not, I would try it again. I tried it a couple times and we did it very slow and different things. But I just, to me, it's like it wasn't the pain. It was just like it felt like I was taking a shit.
Right.
And I don't.
As it will. Well, that's why you gotta, you know, make sure your bowels are clean, clear.
Well, yeah. And I'm like, to me, that's just like not sexy. Like, I just don't like that or whatever. But yeah. I would try it again if someone, like, I was close to someone and they really wanted to try it again, I would do it again. But my thing would always be like, well, could I put something in your butt? Which she did, and he was like, well, I liked it. I'm like, well, then I, because then I would counteract and be like, well, you have a prostate.
Well, prostate gives you instant. Like, you guys, you know, I'm all down. I'm down for men exploring their prostate. Straight men, doesn't make you gay. Doing a sexual act does not change your orientation. Right? Doesn't make you gay. It just means that you have, men have a prostate, which is like the male P spot. That for many men, if you stimulate it, what I've heard, I can't do it. I wish I could. I wish I could have a friggin' penis for a day and a prostate. Mm-hmm. I would not leave the house.
No, definitely not.
I would just use the Aneros toy or fleshlight. I mean, all day long, I would just masturbate probably. I wouldn't leave. But I would experiment with prostate play, which I think 2019 and starting last year, I think that there's a lot of men who are like, ah, I'm open to it. I get that it doesn't make me gay. It just might give me killer orgasms, which would be awesome.
Yeah, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want it? But yeah, he was like, I'm into it. Yeah, but he has a prostate. So anyway, you guys, talk to your partner early and often about sex all the time. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we come back on to your questions after this.
Let's take an email.
All right.
This comes from Stacy, who's 26 in Chicago. She writes, hi, Emily. I've been listening to your show for a few months now, and I love it. Having a threesome is something I've fantasized about doing for a while, and I've heard a lot of people talk about the emotional health side of it, like how to avoid jealousy if you're planning one with a partner and things like that. But I've yet to hear much about the physical health side. Like, what are the logistics of using a condom in a threesome?
Oh, good question. I love it. We don't often get that question, but like, I often bring this up. So, Stacy, the thing about a threesome is, if you're with, is using a condom, is that you have got to change condoms. If you go from one person to the next, he's got a condom on, let's say it's you and a friend, you and another woman. I actually don't suggest having threesomes with a friend, a good friend. But he should take it off. Like, it's not safe. Just like when you go from back to front, like if he goes in your vagina and then he goes in your butt, your anus, can't do it. Condom, you just switch it. You have a stack of condoms by the bed and you replace it. So that is the health about the physical health side of it. And also getting tested. I mean, it is important if you can be with someone who has gotten tested and can show you results, although I don't know how often that happens. Mm-hmm. I would like that to happen for people to get tested and share your results. So really that's, but just use condoms. That's the safest bet.
If people are having casual sex like, how often do you think they should, like, minimally get tested?
I guess after you have unprotected sex again. Like, I think if you're going to get tested and get it all buttoned up, then just keep using condoms.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, yeah, you can get stuff in other ways too. But I think every few months, it's good to get tested. No one does that, but you should. Definitely once a year, for sure. Let's just say twice a year.
Well, yeah, then they have those, like, at-home things now, yeah, too, right?
What's, yes.
I think it's, like, My Lab Box.
My Lab Box, yeah. You could do it. You literally never have to leave your house again. No one does for anything. You could get your STD test at home watching Netflix, yeah, and then order your dinner on Postmates. And
you can actually get Plan B on Amazon.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
But also...
And it's cheaper. But it's like, a lot cheaper.
Oh, I mean, I guess...
Well, I guess it would be... It would
not
be
in the moment.
It would be a preemptive thing. Right. Like, you would be... Or if you have Prime.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime.
Get that one day.
That's why it was invented.
One day shipping.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh my God, you guys. Plan B, though, is not birth control.
It's not. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
That is good. I don't think a lot of people know that.
It messes you up. Have you ever taken Plan B?
No.
I took it once and condom broke. With the worst guy ever for the condom to break. Oh my God, it's a long time ago. He was not the best guy in the way of, like, he'd gotten around. Let's just say that. And I was like, oh shit. And I took it, and it messes you up, your hormones and all the things, and you just feel like crap.
Yeah. I have a question. Yes? We talked about obligations of men having to pay for maybe dinner on the first date. Do they have to pay for Plan B?
Plan B.
Yes. Yeah.
I have friends who have, guys have, like, bought it and then, like, Venmo'd them half.
Yeah, I did that.
You Venmo half?
Yeah, I've actually taken it a few times.
You have? Didn't it mess up?
Yeah, it did mess me up. Like, my period was, like, delayed. It was, like...
Yeah, it's like a bomb.
Yeah.
It's like a... Yes, it's like PMS times 10. Yeah, PMS times 10.
Like a bug bomb? Yeah. But, like, in your uterus?
Kinda. It's like a nuke in that.
It's just weird. But, yeah, I had... Either he paid the full or we split it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on the person.
Chivalry.
I feel like spring for it. How much are they, Plan B?
It's kind of expensive.
They're like $60. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, but I think on Amazon it's like $30. Ago.
Wow, you're right.
There you go.
Really pushing out.
They're not even our sponsor.
I'm just saying that I think it's something that people should know.
No, that is actually a really big discount.
It's half discount. Off.
There you go, everyone.
Stock up.
Stock up on condoms and get a Plan B just in case. Okay, guys. Let's call 888-947-8277.
Let's talk to Adam. He's 28 in Illinois, and he says he doesn't like doggy style and it's becoming a problem.
Oh, okay. Hey, Adam.
Hey guys, thanks for taking me.
Of course, we're here for you.
So, this doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes when I'm with a girl and I'm doing doggy style, I'll, like, lose a boner, and it's my probably least favorite position.
Okay.
And it's worrisome that I get to the point to where I lose a boner sometimes, because I usually start missionary and then I switch to, like, doggy, and then I get, like, kind of anxious because it's been happening, and I was...
Okay.
Curious if you had any tips.
Yeah. You know, Adam, it's so great that you actually just laid it all out. What happens a lot, which is good news for a lot of guys, a lot of the performance anxiety men have is because it happened just once. And then they're like, uh-oh, it's going to happen. And then it happens. So it's really a matter of, like, now you've recognized it. And then, you know, practicing. Well, first, before we get into how to deal with it, I want to know why you think it happened. Why you think you lost it. Do you remember why or the first time?
I don't know. I mean, I would say most of the porn that I watch is missionary, and it's my favorite one personally, or her on top.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I like looking at the face.
Yes, the boobs, I was going to say that, Adam. It feels disconnected. Uh-huh. No, absolutely. Yeah. So I think, first of all, you like missionary when you're on top and she's on the bottom, or when you're on the bottom and she's on top?
I'm on top.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. First of all, I totally get that there is a certain disconnect when you're like, okay, why does he just want it for women? I've heard this a lot. Like, does he just want to do it from behind? Like, it feels less connected. So is there some pressure that you feel like you have to be doing it doggy style? First of all.
I don't know. I don't feel pressure, but I would say that I've come to notice that girls love it because and I have read and I've done a little research that it like does feel a little deeper, and I get deeper if I do doggy, so
yeah.
I know feels like in that aspect.
Well, my research is that guys love it more than women. And is that, I don't know if anyone, what do you guys think here? But I feel like, for, and I feel like a lot of women love it because guys can come quicker in that position. So sometimes it can be like, okay, let's do it from behind so you'll come, get over with, because I don't know how to please myself. I'm not having an orgasm. And I'm not some, sure, women probably get a bunch of calls now, I hope, from women who are like, no, it's not true. But I think that's part of it. And so I think if you know what positions you like, that I think I wouldn't make assumptions that she's just dying for the doggy style, sure, moment. But the other thing is, she could turn around and like look at you. You could say, I want you to look at me like when I'm going, you know, when I'm behind, like I want to see your face, you know. And then here's the other thing to remember, Adam, just if you could go into it. And my biggest things for it's a kind of a mindful sex practice is that just because you got soft in the moment, it doesn't mean that sex is over. You could not get, but I know like your brain's tripping like, oh my God, if you could just be like, okay, I'm getting softer. And then you just go back to like, maybe, okay, so I'm trying to think, if you flip her over and then maybe you just start like going down, like maybe you turn around and then you just start licking her from behind, right? And her butt's out and then you're going, you're performing oral on her from behind. So you don't stick it in yet, right? You're just turning her on. And then you wait for yourself to get hard again and you get your mind off it and you get on pleasing her. And I promise you, if you just distract yourself from those thoughts in a real way of like, let me just do something else, let me focus on something else, it'll come back. You're 28, you're healthy, mm-hmm, I'm sure the erection will come back. It's not, it will. So,
yeah.
And she's not looking at you going, oh, he got soft. If she's already turned around and you're like, this is going to happen, then just ask her to look at you or just go down it or do something else until it comes back. So, to please her.
Right.
Because when you take the attention off yourself and you're focused on her pleasure, you have nothing, like, it, that's what happens. You just, it'll come back, mm-hmm, because it's your brain that's kind of making it go down. How does that, I feel like there's a... Mm-hmm,
I think that's a pretty good plan.
Okay, yeah. Adam. Let me know how it goes. This is not a lifer right, thing, I promise. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily.
Okay, let's talk to Betty. She's 58 in Nevada, and she's got a vibrator question.
Hey, Betty. How can I help you?
Hi there.
Hey.
So, I got a new girlfriend. Yay.
Yay. Go, Betty. Go, Betty. Okay.
And so we get together and everything, and then, like, the second time we're in bed, she tells me, I can't have an orgasm without a vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. And evidently, she's been using this thing for decades. And I said, oh, me and my ego said, oh, we'll take care of that problem. So,
okay.
So I've been trying, but... It doesn't...
Okay.
I mean, I...
It just... You can't, right?
And...
Yeah.
So, we use the vibrator, but my question is, how do you... How... I mean, evidently her clit's damaged from this thing being used for so many years, so I don't know if you have any tips on how to get off of that.
Well, here's
thing.
The thing, Betty. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know that her clit is damaged as much as it is that these neural pathways in our brain that kind of that link us up to orgasm, she's got this same pattern that she's been doing forever. If she wants to unlearn that, you're going to have to she's going to have to be patient, realize she might not have an orgasm. You know, you go down on her, she start masturbating, touching herself, using her fingers, her hands. You know, I don't
she
think
can't,
it's...
She can't have an orgasm... with just masturbating.
She's not right. I mean,
been
I'm telling
trying.
You. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. That some women can't. Some women just have always used a vibrator. I don't think it's a problem. I don't think her clit is damaged.
Okay.
Does she only use one toy?
One what?
She only uses like the same toy.
Over... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. How old is she?
Well, no, she uses a dildo too.
Yeah, great. Does she have an orgasm with a dildo?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean...
Almost.
Well, maybe you'll listen to me. We all get set in our ways. And I believe... How old is she? Is she your age? She 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's other ways to train yourself. We can all learn different ways to orgasm, I believe. But it's a mindset. We have to put in the work. And
I believe... I agree. I've been telling her everything you talk about.
Oh,
I told her to breathe. You gotta breathe.
Yeah, you gotta breathe. Betty, exactly. Betty, you gotta breathe. And there's different kinds of breath. Like, breathe deep, deep breaths, like, down to the pelvic floor. And then there's, like, shallow breaths that kind of help quicken arousal. Like, play with her breath and relax. And maybe... Betty, you guys could do some fun playing together where you're taking the pressure off of orgasm and you guys are just exploring each other's, like, erogenous zones and just get her to relax and chill and massage.
Yeah, she's not relaxed.
She's not relaxed. So she needs you. I'm glad you're in her life right now. But Betty, you have to do your best not to, like, use that language of shaming her, that her clit's broken and that the fact that she relies on a
vibrator. I've never...
Oh, you're just telling me. Perfect. You can tell me anything.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Okay, Betty, we're good. But with her, like, I just think it's like, have her try. Like, because she hasn't been with a lover who was wanted to try other things and be attentive, you know? So I think that's really cool. But just know, you know, probably it's a common, like, that women just kind of get set in their ways. And I used to have one vibrator that I loved. And then I was like, I'm going to stop using it and try different ones and try different touches. And, you know, I've been through the whole thing. So I think,
and also, when she masturbates, she's trying to duplicate the vibrator. I'm like, you need to slow down or try something different.
Yeah,
She's trying to go really fast like a vibrator.
So, because that's the thing. You got to warm. See, that's the thing about where vibrators, what I would love to tell people with vulvas who use vibrators is that you have to, it's that it's so great because you kind of miss the whole arousal cycle of orgasm, of plateau.
I agree.
You know, that whole, like, the arousal cycle through orgasm. So I think that whole experience can be sort of, vibrator speeded up. So maybe what you could start doing with her is, like, oral sex and, like, slowing it down, and then she could bring in the vibrator. But teaching her about arousal.
That's what we do.
That's cool.
I get her way up, and then she just finishes with the vibrator because she can't get over the hump.
Well, how long have you guys been together?
About 4 months.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, give her time. She's been using it her whole life, and, you know, it sounds like you're warming her up through oral or your fingers and, you know, hopefully using lube or some other fun things like that, or, you know, a lot of slides. I just think it sounds like she's open to it, though. I don't have any other tricks for you than what you're already doing in the sense of, like I don't think she's broken at all, but I think it's cool. You know women, you understand their bodies, and as long as she's cool with, like, you know, maybe she'll get there one day. And she has a dildo, and that's the other thing, is, like, doing Kegels for women really helps women with orgasm. Like, when you do your I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp, and maybe you guys could do it together. Twice a day, you just do your Kegels for like 3 minutes a day. I'm not kidding you. I learned to have an internal G-spot orgasm by doing my Kegels. They weren't strong enough. And then once they were, I learned, you know, so we got to build those muscles. So that's another way.
Check it out.
Yeah. Or just, you could get the app or just on your own. You guys do them together. You can get Kegel balls that you can wear inside of you. You guys could play with those. Yeah. So building those muscles and awareness around body and taking the pressure off the orgasm. And who knows, maybe she can have a nipplegasm, right? There's so many paths to pleasure.
Okay,
Betty, keep me posted. I need to know what happens, okay?
Okay, Emily, thanks. Okay,
bye, Betty. Thanks for calling, Betty. 888-947-8277.
I loved her energy.
I loved her energy, too. She sounds great. Clitoris isn't broken. It's just got used to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. We get used to the same positions, the same touch, and just mix it up.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, that's one of my goals. I'm being conscious of that. How's it going? I mean, it's going all right. It's going all right.
Jamie loves her womanizer and
I've just
toy.
So I've just been trying to like set them out and make sure they're charged. It's just that last night I was trying and like the toy that I had died as soon as I turned it on, and I was like, and I was just like, well, I know which one is charged.
Okay,
it's baby steps.
You get a pass. Okay. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, Julia, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.